Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing, also known as 3GT. We want to thank you for joining our continuing discussion. My name is Kyle Borg, and you may know me from other podcasts such as The Daily Scoop, which, no, in case you ever wondered, has nothing to do with your dog's outside habits, as some people enjoy jesting and mocking. And also, you might have heard me featured on the podcast The Jerusalem Chamber, but we are together today for my favorite of all podcasts, which I actually say in all of my podcasts, but this is Three Guys Theologizing. Again, I'm Kyle. I'm joined by my good friends and co-hosts, Scott Hunt and Barry York. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, thank you.
Wow. That's enthusiastic, you guys. Thank you. I'm sure, Barry, if you don't fall asleep during this episode, if you keep that up, you're likely to make some people fall asleep. So
yeah, I'll try better.
All right. Barry was whining just before we started recording about not getting much sleep or something. And so we're going to try to keep things lively and entertaining. And of course, there is no better way to keep things lively and entertaining than to talk about some current events. So as we sit down to record this podcast, if anybody is not an ostrich with their head firmly in the sand, it has been quite the last couple of weeks. In national news especially, over the last 2 weeks, we have faced riots at the Capitol in the United States, followed by the House of Representatives and soon here the United States Senate seeking the Trump impeachment, who I do think still will be going on trial with the Senate very shortly here, to the censoring of social media, the suspending of Twitter accounts, and yesterday, at the time of this recording, is when Joe Biden was sworn in as the 46th president of the United States. So there's a lot of things going on. And, you know, we exist in this podcast to kind of have roundtable discussions to know how we can be thinking about some of these things in a Christian way, how we can be theology-centered in the way that we think about and respond to these things. So that's really where I want to go in this episode, is just to take an account of some of the things going on in culture around us and how can we think about them. I think my first question, we're going to get into some of those specifics, but my first question to you guys is, Are these cultural situations that the church, as the church, needs to respond to, or are these things that are better left for Christians who are also citizens to respond to? You guys want to talk a little bit about that? Does the church, as the church, have a role in addressing some of these cultural things?
I would say, I think Barry is snoring, so I'll go ahead and jump in here.
Wake up, Barry!
I do, you know, this is something that individuals need to be aware of and involved in and appraised of. But I think, like all things, the church has an obligation, I think, to speak truth into the culture. It does that by proclaiming the gospel, by preaching the word, by instructing the saints to how to think about these things, how to process all these events in light of the word of God. And so, yeah, I think that the church is vital in how we as Christians should respond and react to the events of the day.
I agree with Scott. The church is to have a prophetic voice and speak to the times. Now, I think we have to think through how we best go about that. For instance, does that mean then on every Sunday morning, the preacher takes the headlines and crafts a sermon so he can address the latest in the news? I don't think so. I don't think we're to let what's going on in the world per se dictate what we do with respect to the kingdom of God. But certainly we have to address matters of the day. The word of God is filled with the prophet speaking out, not only to Israel, but to the nations. I often think about how Amos, he's going to get to Israel. He's going to get to the things going on in Judah, but he basically spirals around and addresses the different nations surrounding the covenant people of God and calls them out for their sins. And I think we have an obligation to do likewise. It's really, in essence, a part of preaching the gospel because, like, for instance, right now, we're finding a lot of people, because of the coronavirus, are isolated. A lot of churches are shut down. And so it's a time to be helping people who are isolated, lonely, depressed, fearful because of the virus. It's a time to offer them hope and speak to them and their needs. And when it gets more into the political sphere, I think we are to, as Psalm 2 encourages, to address the kings and judges, to tell them to bow before Christ. So there needs to be some cultural interactions in the church with what's going on. I think some people are better at that than others. So I think if you're, for instance, a pastor, you have to think through whether you're knowledgeable enough to speak to certain subjects, requires reading. Sometimes I know for myself, I just don't speak on certain things because I just don't understand them well enough. But a lot of times I will read someone more knowledgeable than I am or have conversations with others to see what they're doing, and that helps.
So I think that's a good way to kind of preface some of this. But if I can follow up on a couple of things, I like so much of what you said so far, but how do we exercise some caution? So I think we do live in a day and age where I think a lot of people expect pastors and elders to be cultural experts. And the simple fact is that we're not, nor can we be, nor are we specifically, I would argue, called to be. And I've really been struck in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry in Luke 12. A man comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, my brother owes me some money. Will you tell him he needs to give me that money?" And Jesus' response in Luke 12, verse 14 is, "Man, who made me arbitrator over you?" Right? Jesus very carefully distinguishing, that's not my business. It's not my, you know, Jesus with perfect omniscience could have spoken to that issue. He could have rendered a judgment better than any earthly judge. But Jesus was still comfortable saying, that's not within the purview of why I've come. Now, Jesus does take the instance, and this kind of goes with what Scott said, he does take it to teach on covetousness. But for his part, he refuses to descend into the argument between these two brothers. So how do we as the church in times like this, how do we kind of straddle that fence where we understand what our role is and what we can say? And how do we balance that with those times when we legitimately ought to be saying, it's not our business. We don't speak to those things. We're the church. And that falls outside of our parameters. What do you guys think about that?
I think one guideline I try to follow is that I do think the church is to be speaking to the character of the nation, so that when we see evils, when we see injustice, that we do have a responsibility. When we see leaders acting in an evil fashion or a foolish fashion, we're to call them out. I think about John the Baptist confronting Herod because he had taken his brother-in-law's wife illicitly. And so he saw this immorality and he spoke against it. But I think, you know, when we start using the pulpit to try to do policy statements and trying to govern from the pulpit, so to speak, well, that's not our purview. The kings and the rulers have that responsibility. And so we do have to be careful that the church isn't to, in a sense, try to interfere in what they're doing. But we do have a responsibility to call them to be holy, to call them to be moral, to call them to do what's right, to not do what's wrong. And so those are more clear-cut, I think, ways that we can be addressing the nation. You know, we can argue about different politicians. Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion regarding Trump. You know, when I've addressed our former president now as we record this publicly, I've addressed some of his immoral things that he's doing. For instance, the way he used his tongue was divisive. And I've not really told a lot of people this because I didn't want to. Of course, I guess you can't even look it up now because it got suspended. But I actually tweeted to the president one time just because I was just trying to say, you know, guard your tongue. And I just thought, well, I'll just do it once. I'm sure it will do no good. And that was proven right. But I just couldn't believe it. It was just like too much. And I just said, you know, with all due respect, I tried to exemplify what I was asking him to do. I tried to do it in a gentle way. And of course, that doesn't work with him. But anyway, that's one way.
Did you title that tweet "The First Blast of the Trumpet Against the Monsters Regiment" to Twitter? I mean, did you?
No, I did not. Okay.
All right. No, I think that's helpful, especially in diagnosing the character. Again, I think we sometimes have the idea that because we are the church, we therefore can speak and should speak to any and every issue. But the Westminster Confession of Faith, I think, is very helpful there, that synods and councils are to determine nothing but what is ecclesiastical in nature, and we are not to intermeddle with the affairs of the commonwealth. And I think that, you know, so many people are confused, so many people are perplexed, they want answers, and I think the church stands to give some answers. I don't think the church is positioned to speak to these things probably the way a lot of people would want the church to. But
well, I think too, Kyle, going along with that is it's sad. Like I think the church, too many Christians are doing exactly what the Psalm says not to do, but putting their trust in princes. They're associating the blessing of the church and the benefits of the church with how things go politically. And we're not to do that. We're in a different kingdom. Jesus came preaching a different kingdom. And though we're earthly citizens and there is a certain level of participation that we're to do that, that's not our ultimate hope. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we really need to be preaching these days, is there is only one king and his name is Jesus. And everybody needs to be turning to him and bowing to him. And when the church is so consumed with all this political fray, it just doesn't make sense. John the Baptist didn't sit there and talk to Herod about the policies that he was making, you know, or Paul when he was on trial. All he used those opportunities for was to preach the gospel. And I think that's what the church really needs to have its true focus on.
Yeah. And I think what the church could really do that's beneficial is point that particular issue out that Barry just brought up, that by and large, on both sides of the aisle, we are seeing more and more people in the name of Christ putting their hope in these men. And not so much in Joe Biden. I don't think I won't say anything about Joe Biden, people putting hope in him. But, you know, their hope is in not having Trump. Or people's hope is in having President Trump. I think it's the church's duty, and this political atmosphere, this climate that we're in, to do and to preach just what Barry said, and that is, your hope should not be in the man. Your hope should be in Christ, who is over that man. And then I think we need to do what Barry said, be willing to speak to the power and to the powers that are over us, respectfully and honorably, not dictating what decisions they make or what policies they pursue, but their need to repent and call out to God for help in their governing.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. You know, I just finished a series through Hosea, and everybody is quite familiar with, well, not everybody, but people in the church are more or less familiar with the first three chapters of Hosea. Chapters 4 through 14 are pretty lost to most of us. But in preaching through Hosea, I was really struck providentially how seasonable it was, because the two great sins that Israel is accused of throughout the whole of that book, one is worshiping the golden calf that was erected in Bethel and worshiping God other than in a way that he commanded. But the second great sin that Hosea centers on again and again is a trust in politics. It's a trust in kings. It is forming earthly alliances with the hope that these things will ultimately deliver us from the hand of God's judgment. And I think that is a very, very relevant thing. even in the church to be addressing. I think a lot of people, whether they are able to see it for themselves or not, whether I'm able to see it for myself or not, the hope and the trust right now being put in politics is, you know, may God use any crowbar possible to pry our hearts off of that. So
I was talking to a brother recently, and he was talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is a brother of color, I'll just put it that way. And he was talking about how the Southern Baptist Convention is actually bleeding black, that there are a number of significant congregations leaving because of some of the stands of their leaders with the Trump administration and all of that. There is even, I hadn't even realized this, but a huge church in Texas where they had the choir sing the hymn, Make America Great Again, while up on the screen were pictures of America, the flag, the president. And it's blasphemous. There's nothing else to say about it. It's idolatry. It's trusting in our government rather than looking to the Lord. And again, that's not to say, I mean, we represent the Covenanter Church. And so we want to see kings and nations bow to the Lord Jesus, but we have to realize that that doesn't come through, wedding ourselves to just anyone that might favor some of the policies that we wish were in place. We've got to be really careful, I think, as the church with respect to that.
Yeah, that's all helpful. Well, let's get into some particulars then, having framed the discussion in that way. I don't know which areas you guys want to jump on right away, but again, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen riots in Washington, D.C., Trump impeachment efforts, suspension of Twitter accounts, and it seems like a censoring of conservative voices. Biden's first actions, which he signed 17 executive orders yesterday in his first actions as president, maybe some of his cabinet members. How can we be thinking about some of these things? So you guys can just go ahead and pick one of those. Help us think through some of these things in a Christian way. Okay. So let me bring up one then. Let's start with the riots. What as Christians or what should these riots be doing maybe to inform the church and our directive for the ministry? What should our response be to those things?
What riots are you talking about, Kyle? Because there have been riots for 6 months.
Well, the only riots that matter, Scott, and those are the ones at Capitol.
I understand what you're saying, and I asked that question tongue in cheek. The point is, we have to speak openly and honestly, I think, and about all of the violence, all of the hatred, all of the bitterness, and not just one particular episode. And we mentioned this on our previous episode, mm-hmm. Where when you weren't here, but I just had to throw that in. I know you.
Oh, you mean when I was preparing for my wife's birthday? Okay,
that's yep. Right.
We thought you were preparing for your court case.
No, there's no preparation needed when you're me. I'm that brilliant.
Well, we were talking about, and I think this is pertinent, that there is so much anger in our culture right now. And it goes right back to what we're talking about, is that people's hope is in their leaders. And when their leaders disappoint them, their anger, they can't contain it. And so it's spilling out on the streets, either side, like the things that happened earlier in 2020 and the things that happened just here at the beginning of 2021 in Washington, D.C. And part of the solution to that is calling people to turn to the Lord. You've got to repent of your sins, of your desire to control people through anger, through violence, through degrading buildings and all those types of things that they're trying to do, through just pure political power or mob rule. And you really need to turn to the Lord and ask Him to bless us and bring peace back to our land. That's how it's going to happen. It's not going to happen through these political figures.
I was reminded, particularly during the Capitol riots or whatever the shenanigans that were going on, of how David treated Saul. You know, David was the anointed king. He was the one that God had chosen, and yet Saul was still king. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul on more than one occasion, but he didn't do it. And his response is, you know, I cannot lay my hand on God's anointed. You know, that should be the church's position here. We, you know, we may not like what's going on. Saul was chasing after David to kill him, you know, but who are we to lay our hands on those who have been placed over us in authority just because we don't like them or what they're doing? Now, I'm not saying don't defend yourself, but certainly you don't take action to go after those people or those seats of authority like was done in the Capitol. I mean, I do think it was absolutely wrong to do. So I think there's some lessons we can learn even from reading the Bible on how to deal with leaders that we don't like or we don't agree with or that are coming after us. I mean, we still have our duties to the Lord with respect to those leaders.
Yeah, I think that's so important. You know, it's hard because the American spirit, right, was revolution for taxation without representation. Personally, I found it a little ironic, and I'm not condoning any of the violence and the rioting that has happened, whether it was in Washington, D.C. or anywhere in the United States. But we are a country that in one sense was formed by that kind of a spirit. And I don't think it's a little apples and oranges, not a one-to-one correlation. But as Christians, we need to recognize that even unjust and ungodly governments are still an appointment of God. You know, I was just reading Kelvin's Institutes recently, mm-hmm. again on the civil magistrate, and with such simplicity, Kelvin opens up the doctrine of the magistrate, but there's more wisdom in his simple writing than there is in most what I've read in the last year regarding the role of civil government. And he says, even a tyrannical governor is an institution of God, an institution of judgment that ought to lead a people to repentance. And he says, so what do you do? Well, he doesn't say, so then you rebel and you revolt. He says, you learn how to obey and suffer. You know, I think a lot of this, just the larger cultural landscape shows, the American church has no clue what it is to suffer. And our mm-hmm. theology of suffering is really being challenged. Mm-hmm. But I agree, Scott, you know, Peter spares no language in 1 Peter 2 about you need to honor the emperor. And what's interesting is just after he says that, he goes on to give instructions to servants on being subject to their masters, which I know our government is not our master and we're not their servants. That's not the way we think about it. But Peter does say not only to the good and the gentle, but also the unjust, that as a Christian, we live within the freedom that Christ has given us, and it allows us to be free to subject ourselves even to things we dislike so strongly, like some of the things that have led to the riots. So I think that's some good thoughts. What about other issues going on right now in culture? So we've got Trump impeachment efforts. We've got censoring of speech. Go ahead, Scott.
I'll talk about this censoring of speech thing. And I know that there are some flag carrying conservatives that probably won't like what I have to say. But the fact of the matter is the First Amendment does not apply to Twitter. The First Amendment does not apply to Facebook. The First Amendment does not apply to all this social media.
Say it a little louder for the back row.
Do I need to speak up? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I agree.
Okay. That's,
and explain what you mean by that.
Okay,
Scott.
So the First Amendment, if you read the text and the decisions that are based off of that, the text says Congress shall not pass any law abridging the free exercise of religion. So it's Congress, and through the 14th Amendment, I don't want to give a boring history lesson, but through the 14th Amendment, states and local governments are now included in that they can't prohibit free speech or, you know, free gatherings. But we're not, Twitter is not the government. I mean, as much as people, you know, think that it should be regulated or should not be regulating free speech, it's not the government. They can do what they want. And we have the right, and I'm speaking just, you know, in terms of Constitution, we have the right not to use Twitter. And a lot of people have chosen not to. They have the right to ban the president of the United States. That's Twitter's right. So I think there's a lot of confusion on that issue. But I did read just today where, and this is just a warning for people who still use Twitter like Barry, you know, they allowed the publication of child pornography and didn't remove that account. And yet they want to silence people who question them or question certain other aspects of our culture. And one has to wonder, what is Twitter really up to if they're okay with this? I mean, a lawsuit has been filed against Twitter for allowing that, allowing videos of a woman being trafficked and that account to remain open because it didn't violate their standards. And yet somehow President Trump violated the standards by questioning the election. So I think there's much wisdom in not using Twitter or you know, questioning their motives, but it's certainly not a First Amendment issue. Mm-hmm. It's a biblical issue for sure, but not a First Amendment issue. Mm-hmm.
The other part of your question, Kyle, had to do with the impeachment of Trump. And I guess I'd just say one thing. As you look at what happened, and you try to be as objective as you can be, did Trump really mean when he was out there talking and the crowds went into the Capitol, did he really mean that he wanted them to physically storm and take over that? I don't think he actually meant that, but I do think he was very foolish in what he said and spoke unwisely to a crowd, not understanding properly human behavior as a leader. And so that he's being held accountable to that, you know, whether it's right or wrong that he's being impeached, if it's just a big political ploy, I'm not really going to comment on that. But he is getting some of the fruits of what happens when you're not wise with your tongue, as James reminds us, as the Proverbs reminds us. We've talked about that in the past. So his rants on Twitter became a rant out in public and created a fire, helped create the firestorm that was there. And instead of thinking more wisely before he spoke and in that particular situation, he's reaped the ill fruits of it. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I like the way you kind of preface that. I can imagine, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I can imagine, you know, if Jesus was carrying out his earthly ministry and somebody said, should Trump be impeached or not? I can hear Luke 12, who made me arbitrator? But then seeing Jesus using that as a situation to talk about how dangerous the tongue is, you know, and it's not just politicians and presidents who can wield the tongue for good or for bad. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us it's all of us. Proverbs tells us that life and death are in the tongue.
And death came as a result. I mean, people died.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And James tells us that the tongue, being a small organ in the body, can be set aflame with the fire of hell itself. And that ought to be one of the messages we bring as we bring this to the scriptures. Well, what about, we're almost out of time, but President Biden has begun to announce some of his cabinet picks together with some of his terrible executive orders. Let's skip the executive orders right now. Anything we should be thinking, Barry, about some of Biden's cabinet picks?
Well, don't blame it on me. I I think, of course, what you're referring to is that our Secretary of Health in the state of Pennsylvania was appointed to Biden's cabinet, and it's a transgender man that goes by the name of Dr. Rachel Levine. And, you know, it's an abomination. I mean, it's a political ploy to continue to move our culture down the road of accepting as normal transgender people. And again, 20 years ago, this would have been shocking to our nation, but that we've gotten so degraded in our thinking and so unclear in our minds that we just accept these things. And if someone speaks out and says the emperor has no clothes, or at least the emperor's in women's clothes, you get in trouble. but it's true. And it's raw. It's true that this is an abomination to the Lord, that it's just further confusing our culture. I was talking with someone recently about this situation. It's just amazing, you know, do you call him, do you call him her? Do you, you know, how do you, just all the confusion of language that even occurs because of what the perversion that our rulers are putting forward. And so this is the type of thing that I do think as a church that we have to warn people against. It's confusing our children. And so we have to tell our children that when they see this picture or this person in public, that that's wrong. We have a duty to do that for our children so they don't grow up confused. And I just hate to think about what this is going to do in our public school system and all of these areas where this type of perversion and confusion will continue to be spread. So we have to speak out against it. And,
You know, my response to some of that is his mom called him Richard. I'm going to call him Richard. I don't care what he wants to be called. His name is Richard. The other thing, and Barry, you pointed out.
We're going to make everybody mad with this episode.
that's my goal. When I was younger, and I remember you teaching and you talking about the sin of abortion and the issue of abortion, that abortion is not going to bring judgment on our land. Abortion is the judgment on our land. And in the same way, this pick for, and I can't remember exactly his role in the administration. It's assistant health.
Yeah, it's in the health. Here. Cabinet.
The assistant secretary of health, you know, him being placed in this position dressed like a woman is not going to bring judgment on our land. Him being placed in this position dressed like a woman is God's judgment on our land for our unfaithfulness. I mean, we shouldn't see this and say, oh man, things are getting terrible. We should see this and say things have been terrible for years. And this is a fruit that we're reaping now from the years and years of compromise that the church has allowed. So, you know,
and they are us, they are us, like they're representing what we've become.
Yes. Thank you for helping me.
No, you said it. I just
that thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's helpful. I, again, having just preached through Hosea, it's remarkable. Hosea 13:11, God says, I gave you a king in my anger, and in my wrath I took him away. Mm-hmm. That God does raise up leaders in his anger as a demonstration of his present judgment and wrath. And I think that's a sobering note, but it's a good note for us to end on today. Thanks, you guys, for this lively discussion. To all of you that we successfully made mad, you can reach out to us at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Be sure to head to our website, 3gt.xyz. We are listener supported. And if you would like to help contribute to our ongoing efforts for this roundtable discussion, you can see that link on our website or head to patreon.com/3gt. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you want, we beg and plead, why don't you go ahead and leave us a review? Only 5 stars are accepted. We'll see you next time.